The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
As we get kicked off, there's going to be some folks joining me on the stage who represent our church body, you, the membership of Tabernacle Baptist, and who serve in various capacities. In just a few moments, they are going to share with us around a few points, a few questions we want to pose tonight and seek to answer. And before they share with you, I want to just set the stage a little bit by looking at Scripture. I want to remind us of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, speaking to his disciples about the church. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The Greek word often used for church in the New Testament is ekklesia. It's a compound word. Ek means out. Klesia speaks of to call. It means to call out. Reminds us that as the church, we are people called out from the world and called to the Lord. Know this, that the church is not a place, the church is a people. The church is not a building, the church is a bride. The church is a body. We are the church. So I say that to us as we talk about a potential building project, we're not necessarily talking about the church. The buildings, the structures are not necessarily the church. We are the church. However, buildings are important because in our culture, buildings are tools that the church uses for the sake of the ministry. So remember, we are the church. These buildings here are tools to be used for ministry. Now realize there's all types of perspectives when it comes to brick and mortar and how we should use those in contemporary society throughout the world for the work of the kingdom. The man who was really used by the Lord to get my life on the right track during my junior college years, he became involved in what is known as the house church movement. He discipled me for years and then was very zealous that this is the church. This is how the church is supposed to be, Patrick. House church movement. And very zealous about that. Some see that within Scripture. Indeed, you do read the book of Acts, you find people, the early church many times met in houses, but I would say the early church did meet in buildings as well. The early church even met in synagogues from time to time. What we read in the book of Acts isn't necessarily prescriptive of what we should do, it's descriptive of what the early church did, and then we can pull principles from what the early church did. Now we know this, we are the church. Here's my point in this, we are the church and these buildings are tools. And like it or not, here is kind of the approach to ministry that we see working and the Lord using in our society and culture is that we do use locations, these facilities, to minister to people and to families. So with that in mind, let me just briefly speak of a few things and then I'll turn it over to this fine group on the stage. Where did this project start? Where did the idea of this project start? You're going to hear more about that in a minute, but let me just let you hear it from my lips. This started with a need, with a need. Okay, shortly after coming as pastor, I became aware of a need on this end of the campus when it came to our buildings. I thought about Haggai chapter 1. In Haggai's day, the buildings were, the temple of God was in ill repair, and Haggai had to bring a tough message and say, look, y'all are living in paneled houses, and the Lord's house is in pretty rough shape. So we have some facilities down here in pretty rough shape. There's some things in these facilities, I dare say, if those things were going on in our houses, If our houses had some of the issues we've got down here, y'all would be working on it. We would be working on it. We would be seeking to improve. So I'm just saying that this started with a need that we've got some real needs down here. All right? So we're seeking to address needs. Let me say another thing. In all of this, we have aimed to involve the people. We want the people called Tabernacle, the church involved in this process. We've desired input. We've desired participation. I realize that I have influence positionally as a pastor, and I want to be faithful to leverage that and to serve, but I don't see me as being the Lone Ranger. We're the body of Christ. We're doing this together, and that's one reason we have all these folks on the stage here, and we've got committees, and we've got teams. We've got a properties team, a finance committee, a capital campaign team. We have trustees. We have deacons who have been involved in this process all along the way, because we need the entire body of Christ, kind of like Nehemiah's day. Everybody's got to pick up their sword and work on this. And then with that, the church in general needs to give approval and blessing and say yes and amen and give their stamp of approval. So that's why we've just continually over the last couple of years been bringing things to you. I think of Acts chapter 6, when the deacon ministry was established, it was this major initiative, and the apostles spoke up, they exerted leadership, and they said, it's not right for us to leave ministering the word to wait on tables. Church, select from among you 7 men who can oversee this duty. And then the Bible says that saying pleased the whole assembly. What does that mean? You had the apostles involved here, right? Peter even. Jesus said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the church. You're the leader. Yet Peter still took the idea for a deacon ministry to a church vote. Why? Because no one individual is the head of the church other than Christ. Christ is the head of the church, and his will is expressed in the church through the body of Christ. That's what Jesus meant in Matthew's gospel, where he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. His point was that the will of God is often expressed by the people of God. And so we would say we have congregational input and approval of all of these things. I was just reading this afternoon, I thought this was timely, reading about a trial in the 16th century where a heretic was condemned to death. And the reformers later were writing on how major decisions like this were made in the church. And like it or not, during the Reformation years, during the era of Christendom, heretics were often put to death. But when doing such things, even the reformer saw the need of going before the body, not for things like this necessarily, but for major church decisions. And sometimes nowadays, the reformers are used to espouse this type of church governance where the body has no say in major decisions, and the elders are on an island, just a handful by themselves, determining the entire direction of the church with little input to no input from the people. Yet one of the reformers said of Paul, and the way Paul sought approval from the body, said Paul's course of action is the lawful one, provided that the elders do not make decisions by themselves alone, but with the knowledge and approval of the church. In this way, the multitude of the people does not decide the action, but observes as witness and guardian, so that nothing may be done according to the whim of a few. And that's really been our spirit here. This is a big deal. This is a big project. And so we've been aiming to involve the people. So you have representation on committees and teams, but then each step along the way, we bring it to you and say, hey, please bless this, please give approval. We want to hear the will of the people before we take a step further. So with that being said, tonight we take one small step forward hear me very clearly. Tonight, we're not voting to necessarily do a project. Yes, we are taking a big step, an important step forward towards that. But the vote tonight isn't we're starting the building. The vote tonight isn't that we're getting a loan. The vote tonight isn't on a floor plan or anything like that. The vote tonight is simply to fund the capital campaign team, what they've requested in funds, so that they can put together a fundraising plan for our church. All right? So that is the nature of the vote. So we bring that to you tonight. Why? So that we're not operating on the whim of a few or even a committee. We're involving the people. So hear me. This is based on a need. We're aiming to involve the people. But then hear this as well. And all of this, we've got to trust the Lord. Not by might, nor by my strength, but by my power, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. John 15, Jesus said, without me, church, you can do nothing. And remember, Paul boasted, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And there, Paul wasn't talking about scoring touchdowns. He was talking about kingdom work. So we know this as a church, like our strength comes from the Lord. So in one sense, as pastor, I'm looking to the people and listening to the people, but ultimately looking to the Lord. There's got to be a point at which there's a challenge here. There's going to be a point at which there's a challenge. If we're not being stretched in some way, we're not stepping out and attempting great things for the Lord. There's got to be a point at which we're stretched and challenged, not in an unreasonable sense, but there will be a point where we're stretched and challenged, and in that we trust the Lord, all because of a great need. Okay, just a few more things. Three I want to speak to just briefly before we move on and hear a report from this team. I want you to hear my heart on a few things. One, tonight we're not voting on taking on any debt or anything like that. That is an issue, a conversation for a later time. I want you to understand, I know there are some that perhaps have concerns about debt. Some at times use the idea from the Proverbs, some of the Proverbs. The Proverbs speak very clearly about not being surety for someone else's debt. Don't misinterpret those verses as meaning God's people can never have debt. Now, I think it's very wise to limit debt, but understand, moving forward, I just want to put this out there as a pastor, that it may be poor stewardship to not consider at some point having a loan. Because if we wait till all of the cash comes in to do a project for the sake of ministry, with the rate of inflation and increased costs, we could end up spending more and being poor stewards. So understand that. Secondly, understand that what we're voting on tonight is to fund our capital campaign team, things they are requesting, things they desire, things they need. You approve this committee, they've been meeting, they desire this funding to lead a campaign to raise money amongst our church. And realize that this is, just hear it from me, from my heart. You may not agree with it, that's fine. But hear from my heart that this funding will greatly help this team. That we have a great team with great experience and great wisdom, but a project of this scope and magnitude, they can use help and consultation, and it's in good wisdom, according to the Proverbs, to seek counselors. And so part of the funding goes towards that to make sure we are being wise in how we conduct ourselves in this project and in this program. So I've spoken regarding a number of things here, and I'll just close with one last one. We're having small votes along the way to kind of move the ball down the field on this project. And the day will come when we are ready, Lord willing and people willing, the day will come when we are ready, when the Capitol campaign team comes before us and they have a plan to move forward and they ask us to make commitments and to give to a project. And let me just put this before you as pastor. That is when the real vote will occur in this church, is when we make financial commitments. So let's have our hearts and minds prepared. Let's be praying. Let's be ready. We will know what we're going to do when we see how the Lord moves in our hearts individually and burdens us to give to this project for the sake of a need and for sake of strategic ministry. All right? Let me pray, and then we'll transition to our team sharing some really important information with you. Father, in all things, lead, guide, and direct as you moved at times in the early church. Move in our hearts. Lord, there were times where the early believers, the disciples, and the apostles had to make decisions, and there were kind of watershed moments. And Lord, you moved collectively in the hearts, and you gave one accord, you gave agreement. Lord, we know there's rooms for disagreement and for different opinions in the church. We don't expect exact mind control. Even Peter and Paul had differences. But Lord, in time, would you, through all of this, give us the concept and the idea of what you want us to do, and give us unity around a project that will be used by you to address needs here and ultimately to minister the gospel of Christ in this community for years to come. I pray in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I like that analogy he used about buildings being tools. I have a lot of tools at home. Some of those are things that I inherited when my father passed, and I particularly remember an old wooden-handled hammer of his that I used when I was a little kid, and I like that hammer. It means something to me, and I think about things when I see it, but I think if I use that hammer today and the head flies off the handle, then it's time to get a new hammer. And part of what I'm up here to say is that the head's flying off the handle down here. And so we've got some things we need to address. These older brick structures that are on the campus have undergone some minor facelifts and I won't say renovation, because it was more like things like painting and carpet and build a partition and take a partition down and little things like that. But when you look at the possibility of renovating those buildings to really make them suitable for what we need to do today, you begin to trigger a lot of requirements that are just difficult for us to meet. Things like handicapped accessible restrooms and spaces, and I don't have anything against handicapped accessibility. We want all of our facilities to be accessible to folks with physical difficulties, but it's costly to get there. And when a bathroom is very small and you have to double or triple its size, that can be impossible sometimes. Things like adding elevators and adding stairwells where there are none are just, it's tough down there. And so as far as usability and the ability to continue to modernize those buildings, we've reached the end of it. And on top of that, most of you know the old sanctuary building floods, the basement of it floods when we have heavy rain, so multiple times a year, our folks come in and there's water standing in the basement. And you know, even if we could fix all that, then you've still got a couple of buildings that are 60 and 80 years old. And in just a few years, we very likely would be having somebody stand up here and say, we got to replace those buildings finally, after we had spent a lot of money to fix them. So we think that time has come to replace these old substandard buildings. What we envision that this project is going to accomplish for us is to create improved and enlarged space primarily for our youth and students. And then to have an enlarged welcome area to create the meeting space that we need to engage with members and guests before, between, and after our services. It simplifies the entrance into the building so that when folks pull up in the parking lot, they know where to go to get into the building. It'll also provide some much needed and consolidated administrative space for our staff. A lot of them work in offices where the walls are crumbling. They're spread out around the campus where it's not always as convenient as we'd like it to be for them to get together and to communicate with one another. And then finally, as part of this project, as we work that direction, the music suite's going to be renovated. There'll be a little bit of additional space added on there, and it'll be their restrooms will be enlarged. But that's what we've gotten down to now. Following the last report, when we last met on Vision Night, I communicated with the architects and asked them to reconfigure our plan to lower the cost and give us a plan that we could undertake in one phase. The original plan was, if it had all been built in one fell swoop, would have been over $15 million. They called me about 2 weeks ago and said, okay, we've taken everything that you gave us and we've roughly drawn some pictures that I'll show you in just a minute, that has the things in it that you say you need, and right now we're at just a little over $10 million. They said, before we go any farther with that, we'd like to get some feeling from the church about whether or not that's the kind of challenge you can accept. So we've had meetings over the past couple of weeks with staff and committee members, trustees, and others, and talked about it, and that's what brings us to you tonight. What's going to be included? If you can show that table of square footages. I think it's two more slides. That one. No. Well, I can tell you. The main entry, welcome area, that's there it is. Main entry and welcome area is about 7,000 square feet. It starts down here, goes all the way around the front of the building, comes over here and connects to where the old TV studio was. The administrative area, about 8,000 square feet, and I say about because these are really rough numbers right now, and they're still working to tighten up the plan. So if the final square footages come in, they're a little bit different from this. I'm telling you, they're going to be a little bit different. But the administrative area is about 8,000 square feet. The worship ministry area, which is primarily renovation, is about 3,500 square feet. Student ministry area and multipurpose space, 11,500 feet. That's a big number, but remember, it includes the multipurpose room, which now is roughly the size of the fellowship hall. That's for their big assemblies, big meetings. And then it's got an area that has 14 classrooms and a large group meeting space. So that's the bulk of the square footage in this project. It's a big number. There's a community use area, which is a room that can be used by us. It can also be used by community groups to come in and meet. It's about 1,500 square feet. A couple of things we added in this revision of the plan. You may remember we didn't have any space in the previous plan for our maintenance crew. They have some space down in the basement of the A building. There was nothing in the plan for them. We knew we would have to put them somewhere. We didn't know exactly where that would be. We thought maybe a house or some space that we could come up with. But since we were revising the plan, I asked the architects if they could find a place to put our maintenance folks to do that. And so they have included a space that you'll see in a minute. It's about 1,000 square feet for them. And then there's a category called circulation, egress, and support space. That's restrooms, hallways, mechanical rooms, electrical rooms, the kind of spaces that no one claims, but you really need them. And that's about, it's typically 30% of all your other spaces, so 9,750 square feet for hallways, stairwells, restrooms, mechanical, electrical rooms, and so forth. Total projected space as of today, 42,250 square feet. Just for your information, these two red brick buildings together total about 30,000 square feet. So we're really replacing 30,000 existing feet and adding another 12,000 or so square feet to our facilities with this project. Now, if you'll flip back to those colored diagrams, I'll talk about them for just a minute. What's gone is the gymnasium, the indoor playground, which you see a kind of a salmon colored block down there that says youth on the first floor. That used to be an indoor playground and a community connection space. The youth Sunday school, youth life group activities have been moved down to the first floor. The brown colored long thing that says gathering, that's the welcome area. There's a blue block there that says college. College group was also a group that was not able to be included in the first plan just because we ran out of space. But now we have a little more space there with the gymnasium out of the plan. So we've added the college folks back. You see that biggest block is the multi-purpose room. The green is the worship and orchestra, which is primarily where they are now. It's just rearranged a little bit. And then that purple block at the top is the maintenance support team. Felt like that was a good location for them because it takes advantage of the drive-through that we still plan to have there. The next page shows the administrative space. One of the things when I talked to the architects a few months ago was to say, if we can get all this on one level, that would be great. Well, they called me up after a couple of weeks and they said, look, we're just way short of being able to get everything you folks say you need on one level. We're coming up about 7,000 square feet short. And so if you remember those square footage numbers I went over a minute ago, to get everything on one level, we would have to cut out a major part of our need. We'd have to cut out the youth life group area, or we'd have to cut out offices. So in order to get everything we need, they have put the administrative section on the second floor. It does keep all our church ministry activity on the ground floor, easy to get to, easy transitions from one place to the other. And then the administrative activity all takes place on the second floor. The brown is the actual office spaces, and the blue is part of that egress and support number that I mentioned a few minutes ago. That's what the blue is. I think that's about it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So someone asked me the other day, do we have a solution looking for a problem? We don't. These guys have already talked about the problems we're trying to deal with, but it's really a vision for our campus. So there's some long-term problems that have been described. There are some opportunities for better access, and most importantly, an opportunity to connect all of our campus. So these are the solutions, but it's a project that's designed to help us support and engage and work through our priorities of worship, outreach, discipleship, and fellowship. So as already been said, we're going to start from this wall. We're going to go that way towards Church Street, and with one single entrance and a large welcome center. If you've entered in morning services through the door back at the end of the back of the worship center, you see Benji's team, they have a table out front, they have a flag out front. That is drawing people in and showing them, one, where to go. And they've been able to take a lot of visitors, a lot of guests, and either bring them in the worship center, bring them to a life group, so they have a central place for people that are seeking to visit Tabernacle, a place to go. So the welcome center that's been described is about that. When I think about a vision, I think about if I could hover over and look down, what will we see happening? And what we see happening is people gathering in the welcome center. Yes, there'll be coffee in the welcome center. We got to have caffeination to get going, right? And there'll be places for people to meet friends, to meet guests, to meet families. Families as a place to come to. And so it is a place for outreach and fellowship, two of our priorities, and a single entrance. Our pastors talk many times. We invite someone to Tabernacle, which door do they go to? There's a lot of choices. And so we want to have a clearly designed place to come. Steve talked about almost a third of the space we're talking about is for youth and students. And that's about a third of the square footage. And they, Kyle and his team, they get to take all four priorities. They get all four. They get outreach, fellowship, worship, and discipleship happens in that space. In addition, it's a space big enough for some large events for the church. As Steve has already said, it's the same size as our fellowship hall. And then there's community space. Some of you are aware, maybe all of you are aware, there are groups that meet every week here. Bartow Recovery has an office here. Celebrate Recovery meets every Friday night. There are other community groups. There are community Bible studies. I got a call last week from a lady who wants to bring homeschool children once a week and do Bible study for homeschool students. And I said, I'm thinking maybe, 15, 20. How many people? 60 people. But once a week, coming to church to study the Bible as a part of their learning curriculum. So that's certainly an outreach opportunity for Tabernacle. And then expanding our music suite, adding more storage place for the orchestra, that clearly is our worship and fellowship priorities. And then on the second floor will be much needed office space, but also meeting spaces when members come and they want to capture somebody, get them in the corner and talk to them. It's hard to hide. On this campus, you can go a lot of different places. So one place, it also promotes collaboration among the staff and among committees as they're meeting. So it's an opportunity to achieve this vision, to take us down this path, and just hope you can see that as we get more plans as we go forward. But on the screen, we're talking about what we're doing. Now we're going to talk about the why, and I'll turn it over to Trey.
Thank you, Phil. Why are we doing it? I said, Trey, hey, why don't you talk to them about why we're doing it? I said, okay, no pressure. Why are we doing it? So quick show of hands, keep your hand up when I get to you. If you have ever taught me in life group or Sunday school, put your hand up. If you have ever taught one of my children, my wife, my mother in life group, Sunday school, if you have ever worked with any of us at any of the events, whether it be camp, vacation, Bible school, kid venture, youth choir, I'm trying to think of all the things I'm missing. If you've ever prayed for my family, raise your hand. Thank you, Steve. All right, take a look around all those hands that were up. So that's just one goober. And there's a lot of people within walking distance of this church that don't have that. You can put your hands down now. A lot of people within walking distance of this church that don't have that. And if there's anything that we can do to go out and grab some of those people and share the love of Christ with them and fulfill those priorities of outreach, worship, discipleship, and fellowship, my goodness, why wouldn't we do that? And so you've heard before with Steve and with Phil, the commitment to our downtown area, we believe is a vital part of Tabernacle and the culture here at Tabernacle, and continuing to grow in this location. It's exciting to see church growth, and people are going to look at it and say, what in the world's going on over there? Maybe we need to go be a part of that while they're downtown shopping or dining or whatever it is. Opening our doors to the community needs out there. Phil mentioned several of those organizations that have benefited from use of space here. Some of them have gone on to be really successful organizations that are sharing the love of Christ through different avenues outside of church, through family development and those types of things. And then finally, we're experiencing growth here at our church, at Tabernacle. Our church family is growing. And so it's time for us to address those buildings like they've talked about for our current, prospective, and future members. So one of my most prized possessions is a photograph of my grandfather breaking ground for those brick buildings when he was serving as a deacon back 80 years ago, I think, about how old that building is. And so he's passed on since then, but just thinking about the legacy that so many have left behind of taking care of this church building in an effort to grow and take care of the church family, just so excited to be a part of that, and how proud all of the members before us would be to see us bulldoze something and grow something else to further the kingdom of Christ. So that's why, take a look at yourself, pray about it. There's a corporate why, but think about, what is my personal why? Why do I want to see this happen? Why do I want to see this succeed? So I think with that, we'll turn it over to Steve Page. Why now?
Thank you. Trey's got a great voice, doesn't he? He'd been great on the radio, especially with that face. No, they asked me to talk about why we're doing it now. We had a meeting a while back, and one of the things that came forth was that it was a big number, and we talked about that, the original number, and we talked about the fact that a lot of the stuff that was going to be for our youth was going to be way down the road. And that was something that there was a lot of talk about. So, you know, some of that stuff may have come, I think it came up that the pastor's kids might even be up and gone by the time we got to some of that. So our youth have been putting up with some not the best environment over here, so one of the things Steve went back and worked on was bringing their stuff forward and working them into the project. And now they're going to be able to enjoy something now. And to me, that's one of the big reasons for doing what we're doing now, is for our youth, our students, and our college ministry. They'll get to enjoy it, pretty quickly. Obviously, the other big thing was addressing staff needs with offices and meeting spaces and things like that. I was in Benji's office a while back, and, stuff's just peeling off the walls, and, it's time for that. And obviously, there's a need for what we're doing out front with visitors coming in. I mean, I don't know if you go down here and try to get a cup of coffee on Sunday mornings, but it's as bad as 285 and 75 on a Monday. But anyway, all that gets handled now. And to me, that's huge, that we can address all three of our major concerns right now with this new project, our new drawing, and with a reduced budget. So,
have I got to use this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What are we asking you to do? I'm going to give a little personal testimony. I know I stand between you and the hot dogs and the ice cream, so I'll be quick, okay? We're asking you to begin to pray. And I want to say something. If you don't pray now, and if you don't pray sincerely, I would ask you to start getting with the Lord and developing that program. I'm going to give you a little personal testimony. About a year ago, this past May, I was at the point to where I was feeling really bad. I had just been through some chemo, and I was feeling really bad. And I got up on a Monday morning, and I was suddenly feeling really good. And I could not explain it to you, except the next day in the mail, I got a card from Lori Shadle's group. Lori Shadel had asked the kids to pray for some people in the church. Rylan Jones prayed for me that Sunday. And the Lord heard his prayer, and he took care of my cancer. I have yet to have a test to where they find cancer since that time. Now, I believe in prayer, and I think that we need to be a praying church. We need to pray to God for the different people in the church, but we also need to be praying for this project to come to fruition. And I'd like to just say a prayer right now, if I could, for this journey, okay? Father, I would pray that each home represented here, and those that may be just looking at television, that each of the members of those bodies of believers would become filled with the voices of prayer for this church and for the journey that we have ahead as we look and plan for these facilities that we need for the coming generations that will be coming to this church and being raised in this church. I pray that in God's name, in Christ's name, amen. Second, I want you to pray for God's guidance for your homes personally. And let me tell you, I had just read something not long ago about Solomon. When Solomon was a young man and was taking over to be the king of a kingdom that his dad had built, and he was to be the leader. And he was a man who at that time was just pure as the driven snow because of his dad's teachings. But what did he do when he was to take over that kingdom? He sought God. He went to Gilead and he sought God. He didn't ask him for any special thing. He just went to be with God. And God told him, ask, and it will be given to you. That's what we need to begin doing. We need to begin asking. God, give us the wisdom. God, give us the direction that we need to do what we need to here at Tabernacle Baptist Church, so that each one of us will be able to contribute and do what we need to have the funds available to build these buildings. Pastor said a while ago when he was up here talking, and it astounded me, but that's what God does to me. God kind of brings things to my mind as I go along. But the pastor said something about trusting in God's word. I had written a verse of scripture for tonight, and it's Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum's a book way back in the Old Testament nobody ever reads. But the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Just think of those words. He knows those who trust in him. If you want God to know you, and if you want God to hear your prayers, trust in him. Okay, because he will answer those prayers. He will provide. God is the same, is always there and always the same. And that's what makes God good. It's not what God does, it's who he is. There's a quote from J. Vernon McGee. A lot of you may know J. Vernon McGee from being on the radio, but let me remind you that this is God's universe. He is doing things his way. You may think you have a better way, but you don't have a universe to rule, okay? And God knows what plans are going on here at Tabernacle. It's God's plans for us to do this. I sincerely believe that, or I wouldn't be standing here before you. And he's just asking us to join in his plan as we move forward, not for us, I may not even be here when this building is done, but for the generations to come, that's my calling. Is we need to be doing this, and we're asking you to participate in this, because we are the future. We are looking to the future generations, and we are looking to this community we live in. They need a place to come to. And we need to have that. Let's just take some time and pray. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that we are to trust in you with all our hearts and all our souls and all our mind, and we're not supposed to lean on our own understanding. And so, Father, we come to you tonight, and the pastor spoke of this, but Father, we come to you tonight just fully trusting that you have a plan and that this vision that we have for Tabernacle Baptist Church is your plan. We trust and believe that you will instill in each one of us a desire to see this vision come to fruition, and that the future generations and the families of this church, along with the community, will be astounded at what they see done here. Father, we pray that this church will be the light that will light this community, that, Father, it will bring those people out of the valleys that the song spoke of a while ago. Father, that we will see people coming here to believe in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and that you are our Heavenly Father, and that Jesus sits on that throne beside of you and hears our prayers. And Father, we pray right now, as with that prayer that was spoken by Ryland Jones, that God, you will lean over and you will ask your Father to grant the prayers that we pray for this building to come about. Father, we think of the $10 million. $10 million is nothing to you. God, you own everything there is. If you see fit, God, you would give more than that, and you would see greater things happen here, because greater are you than anything that we can even fathom. Lord, I would just pray right now that we would just take our hearts and bring them to you, and that you would teach us and show us the things that we need to do in order for all of this to come about. We pray these things in the name of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.